My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
David Cobb writes about college football and college basketball for CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at David W. Cobb. Cobb, I'm not... CBS, are y'all DraftKings, FanDuel? Do y'all have a partnership right now?
That's a fantastic question, Jeffrey. I never really know.
I feel like everybody's like, yeah, we're rotating. It's like, I don't know, whoever comes on this fall.
Well, so if you're alluding to the win totals piece that I did on college football at CBS Sports, I just shopped around, which is something I've never gotten to do before for this piece because we've always had
a partnership. Yeah.
Right. But the beauty of it this year was, I didn't go nuts. I didn't go full Bud Elliott like spreadsheet on it. But I mean, I had two or three books up and I picked the juice and the totals that I liked the best. And that's what we went with.
I'm actually not referring to that, but you do bring up a good point. I think Bud has some software where he literally has like every book comes up so that like if he sees something he wants to play. No, I bring this up because I was scrolling through ESPN Bet today and over on their college football specials, they had a couple of head-to-heads. And there was one that caught my eye. Head-to-head, most regular season wins, the University of Memphis -115, the University of Tennessee -115. Keep in mind, this is not like who goes to the playoff. It's just straight up more regular season wins. And I was like, oh, that's tasty.
Why do they got to do us like that? Now you put me in a really tough spot. Like these Memphis versus Tennessee.
Okay,
debates.
I'm not even being a homer. Isn't the right answer to go Memphis just because like Memphis is going to be favored in more games?
Well, that does make sense. The win totals in Vegas on Tennessee are more like 8.5 or 9. You're not seeing anything at 8.5 on Memphis. Everything is 9 or 9.5, right?
So yeah, I mean, I think at one point you could get 8 juiced massively to the over, but yeah, I haven't seen that in a very long time.
Yeah, you know, I think it might be Memphis. I think that might be the safer play because if you look at Tennessee, there's more room for error there when you got Georgia. Even in a worst-case scenario, you could lose to Florida. Like, we're talking about Florida. Like, Florida stinks. But Florida is still a good – there's still good players on that team. They might go 5-7, but they might be the best 5-7 team in the country. And one of those wins could be against Tennessee, you know. So there's a little – tricky games like that Tennessee has, whereas like Memphis has a I think a larger or a higher floor. Let's say that. I think Memphis has a higher floor. So if I were forced to pick between the two, I'd probably pick Memphis.
Yeah, because I'm with you. Like, yes, Florida is likely to not go to a bowl game based on their schedule. But if I told you, hey, that team's physical, they figure out, you know, they cut down on the turnovers, they kind of play an old school, like run the ball control, play physical defense, like, I can see a world where they go 7-5. Like, it's not insane.
And then how about this? What if Tennessee, like, messes around at Arkansas? Like, that's not one that anyone is talking about, and for good reason. We think Arkansas is going to be bad. But that is a road SEC game against a team not named Vanderbilt. So I don't mean – if you're playing on the road in the SEC against somebody not named Vanderbilt, like, there's always a chance, like, that you could lose that game. So, I mean, that – you know, that's another one that jumps out there, too, as like, you know, we're all putting that one in the win column, but there's a world in which, you know, Tennessee messes around and gets bit at Arkansas.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm kind of doing the move now where I'm kind of questioning all the kind of thoughts that I had coming into the season, you know, kind of testing yourself. I like that you brought up Arkansas. I think quietly, I'm not talking like 9 or 10 wins, but I think we're under this assumption that, you know, we're going to be talking about the next Arkansas football coach come, you know, middle of October, early November. I kind of talked myself into Arkansas being better than we think this year.
Wouldn't be at all shocked if they pull a couple of upsets. Really, the question is 6-6 good enough to save Sam Pittman's job? Because I think they can do that, even though the odds are, you know, the win totals around the country are saying 4.5. 6 is doable for Arkansas. I mean, they could beat Oklahoma State. They could sneak past a Texas A&M. Like, there's games on this schedule that they can win. So it's just a matter of, like, in that whole conversation about the Razorbacks, like, the assumption is Sam Pittman is getting fired, but what if they exceed their projected win total by a win and a half and they get back to a bowl? Are we still firing Sam Pittman? Because, you know, what are we supposed to expect from Arkansas in this SEC when they are surrounded literally on all sides by premier programs? So, I mean, for me, I think 6-6 would be a really good season for Arkansas, and I think they're definitely capable of doing that. I think they have enough talent, and I think Sam Pittman's enough of a motivator to get them to go out there and win 6 ball games.
Yeah, because the other thing I keep thinking about is, I think Petrino is going to be a massive upgrade. And also, unlike with Jimbo and Petrino, I have full faith that Sam Pittman's not going to really meddle with Petrino. He's going to basically let him run the offense. I'm not convinced that Taylen Green is a for sure upgrade over KJ, but I acknowledge KJ has limitations. Like, if I'm asking KJ to throw it 30 to 35 times a game without a running game, I don't think that's utilizing KJ to the best of his abilities. But, like, I think offensive line play, they're going to be better. That defense, like, it kind of gets masked because they had a few games where they just kind of quit. Defense wasn't all that bad last year. Like, I've just kind of talked myself into we're writing them off maybe a little too soon. Like, I think we're lumping them into the category of Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and I don't think they belong there.
Oh, no, totally agree. To me, there's a clear, like, bottom of the SEC that includes Vandy and Mississippi State. I think Arkansas is closer to that South Carolina tier where it's, all right, you know, we should expect this team to make a bowl. But I don't think around the country they're being looked at in that way. I think they're being looked at as a bottom-tier team with Mississippi State, with Vanderbilt. That's I don't think, fair. The other part about Arkansas that interests me or excites me a little bit, they've actually, like, got a lot of returning production in that receiver room, and I think Bobby Petrino might be able to scheme to some of those guys' skill sets. I mean, last year that room looked like a totally random hodgepodge collection of transfers.
Yeah.
And you wondered if they were going to stick around or if they'd be any good. Well, I mean, there was at least some pop in there, and all those guys are back. There's a ton of skill production that's back, which I think gives them a chance to keep up, you know, in the SEC on nights when maybe their defense isn't at its best. So, I mean, yeah, I'm willing to go over on Arkansas. It's not on my win totals, but I'd be willing to go over 4.5 for sure on the Razorbacks.
The other thing, I was jotting down notes last night of like betting strategies. I think I've talked myself into, I think I just want to blindly bet Mississippi State overs, because I think Lebby's going to put every good athlete he has on offense. They're going to try to run as fast as they can. I don't think their defense is going to be very good. And I feel like it's going to be like when Lane and Lebby first got to Ole Miss, it was just like, just blindly take the over. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm historically an unders better, but I've just talked myself into that. Like, I feel like their hallmark is going to be, we're just going to try to score as much as possible.
Yeah, how about a Blake Shapen, like, massive Hail Mary odds for the Heisman Trophy because he might throw for
7,500 yards.
Right, yeah, no, I love it. That's going to be their MO for sure, which I think is great. Like, if you think about Mississippi State's success over the years, it's when they've had a innovative offensive mind at head coach Dan Mullen, Mike Leach, and, Joe Moorhead, I guess, had lost some of his luster by the time he got there. But no, I think you gotta step on the gas and do something unique or special when you're at a place like Mississippi State. And like the way that Jeff Lebby is going to run that thing, they're going to spread it around, chuck it around, go up tempo. And I mean, it works. Like, it's proven that system works. It works for Josh Heupel at Tennessee. It helped them turn that program around pretty quickly. I just think the rebuild at Mississippi State is going to be a little bit of a longer runway. I don't think we're going to see a bowl in year one or a massive 9-10-11 win season in year two. I just think because of where they're at from a talent standpoint, like, it might just take a minute for Mississippi State to kind of get past all the roster churn that was associated with the disaster of what happened, obviously, with Coach Leach and then Zach Arnett, and then now you're regrouping again. Like, it's going to take a minute, but like, I do believe Jeff Lebby will get it going there.
Yeah, if you're a State fan and you're thinking about bowl, you have to go 4-0 in non-con, no questions asked. Like, you can't go slip up at Arizona State, that might be one of the few power teams that you're going to have a better roster than. Like, you can't slip up there. And then you've got to get two out of the collection of Florida, Arkansas, Tennessee, Missouri, Ole Miss. And it's like, for that to happen, you need, you know, you've got to, I guess, beat Arkansas. Like, you basically need two of those teams to kind of fall apart, like, and lose what they're playing for, and you catch them like on a sleepy day. To me, that's your path to a bowl.
Right. I mean, heck, at Mississippi State, like, you never know. Last year was their first year they missed a bowl since 2009. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, the Mississippi State that I grew up with was just a very much an afterthought. Like, after Jackie Sherrill, I mean, it was kind of cool. Like, Sylvester Croom went to, what, one or two bowls in his tenure there. And, you know, you just didn't have any expectations for Mississippi State in the late 90s, really, and early 2000s. And then the fact that they went, what, 12, 13 years in a row making bowls is wild. But that's only going to get more difficult for them in this era, because with the SEC being the way it is, and, you know, the talk of eventually going to 9 league games, like, they're one of those programs that could really struggle to make bowls. But when you got a scheme and a system like what Jeff Lebby has, the type of scheme and system that, you know, are going to help you attract really high caliber quarterbacks and high caliber receivers, like, you're going to have a fighting chance. So I like it that they're going that route, and they're not trying to, you know, they're not hiring some former Kirby Smart assistant to come in there and try and replicate Georgia's system at a place that you just can't do that at Mississippi State. So I like the direction they went with the hire for sure.
All right. It happens every year. I think last year it was Ole Miss and Missouri. I think both of their win totals were like 7.5. They smash it. If you got to pick a team that's going to smash their win total in the SEC, who are you picking?
I think Auburn. I mean, they've got a shot.
I hate to hear that.
Right? I mean, I know you're the biggest Hugh Freeze fan.
Well, you
there,
saw
right?
Where he should be 4-0 against Nick, right?
yeah, sometimes less is more with Hugh Freeze.
By the way, he pointed out that they were up 24-3 in that game. At half, it was 24-17. Also, in the fourth quarter, they were down 18 points in said game.
Well, they almost had him, Jeffrey.
Yeah, they had him on the ropes.
if there'd been some lightning, you know, maybe the game would have been called.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. I mean, I'm curious about Auburn. We're putting a lot of faith in a freshman receiver in Cam Coleman and in a very, you know, kind of iffy transfer in Keandre Lambert-Smith at receiver. But this is Auburn. It kind of feels like anything is possible for coaches in their second year there. You know, this is typically a time when, you know, unless you're Brian Harsin, you tend to have some early success if you're a coach of any repute at Auburn early in your tenure. And, you know, here he is, you know, 1 year removed from almost beating Alabama. It's like Auburn is such a chaos team because this is a team that lost at home to New Mexico State and then turned around and almost upset an Alabama team that went to the college football playoff. So which version of Auburn are we going to get? I don't think this is their chips all in, like, hey, we got to win this year type of season. But it could be a year of pretty significant progress. So, you know, I wouldn't shut the door on an 8 or 9 win season for Auburn.
Yeah, I think they're pot committed to next year being the year, the judgment year, because this is, in even number of years, are the years that they get Georgia and Alabama on the road. And so you're already just kind of starting off 0-2. But, I mean, to your point, they should be, their non-con is Alabama, A&M, Cal, New Mexico, not New Mexico State, and Monroe. So there's four. You get Vandy. You get Arkansas. To me, their season swings on at Kentucky, at Missouri, A&M, Oklahoma. Like, what do they do in those games?
Right. Yeah, Auburn and Oklahoma and Kentucky are two that I have a hard time getting a read on.
Yeah.
For this season, I mean, with Kentucky, you got Brock Vandegrift coming in. How good is he? Is he a potential star who just got stuck behind Carson Beck, who might be a top 15 draft pick? Or
heck, he could be the number one pick, man.
I mean, could be, right? Or is he a scrub that, you know, was never going to play there, even if Carson Beck had declared, right? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know the answer. I mean, I think it's probably that he's a really good quarterback and that he's, you know, an NFL caliber talent himself. That's what the recruiting rankings would suggest. And he was always, you know, there in the mix to be the backup at Georgia. So, hey, maybe he goes to UK and just totally pops off. Maybe Kentucky's sort of that surprise team from the middle of the pack. But I mean, if I were choosing Auburn or Kentucky, I feel a little better about Auburn being that team.
I was trying to see last year. Inevitably, we always have a team that the win total's too high. It really wasn't insane last year. State's win total was 6.5. Carolina's was 6.5. A&M's was 8.5. Like, to me, the question is, who's somebody that finishes like 2 wins away from their win total?
There could be some surprises in that category. I mean, because look at what's expected of so many teams. Like, you've got Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, all LSU even, all expected to be playoff contenders, 10-win types of teams. People think that Missouri and Tennessee could do that. Like, so there's going to be some disappointed faces in the SEC. Missouri would be probably my pick, and they're getting love at around 9.5, which I get because of their schedule. Like, their schedule is a joke.
Yeah.
Like, in the best way possible if you're a Missouri fan. I mean, even the non-con is bad. Your marquee non-conference opponent is Boston College, and they're in year one under Bill O'Brien, and they're coming down to your place. So, I mean, when that's your toughest non-con, and then you don't have to play Georgia, you don't have to play Texas, like, that's about as soft as it gets for Missouri from a scheduling standpoint. So, I mean, I get why their total is where it's at, but when you replace multiple NFL draft picks on the defensive side of the ball, and then you lose your stud coordinator and Blake Baker, I mean, there could be a pretty serious drop-off on that side of the football. And then you factor in the close game luck. I mean, Harrison Meeves hits a, what, 61-yard field goal last year
for
them to win that Kansas State game. I mean, that kind of stuff doesn't happen every year. And so you get some of that close game luck go the other way now. You know, we could be talking about Missouri as a 7-win team versus a preseason total of 9.5.
Yeah, that Topmeyer's point was, he thinks that Missouri was, and it's like, hey, this is why we play football. We keep score for a reason. But he really feels like it was like an 8-win team that masked itself as a 10-win team.
Very well could be. I love the over principle that you have for Mississippi State. I love that for Missouri, too. Because with Luther Burden and Mookie Cooper and Theo Weiss and these guys, like, They are going to put up points. They haven't forgotten how to score, but
well, I'm Andy, you don't have Schrader to chew the clock.
Yeah, so you got to go, Kimball. Yeah. You got to throw it. So hey, maybe they have forgotten how to play defense though. So I'd be real interested in some Missouri overs, especially in that first month of the season where like I can see Thomas Castellanos at Boston College just randomly going off for 350 yards passing, 100 yards rushing, and 5 total touchdowns, and Missouri winning that game like 45-35 or something.
Castellanos might be like my favorite bad quarterback in college football. He like dude leaves it on the field. Like every play, he plays it like it's his last. He's just, God bless him, he is just limited from a skill set.
Right, but now you get him with Bill O'Brien. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, now we're cooking. It took me, I think but when I was kind of like in July when I was like scrounging through like, all right, it's college football time. I had forgotten Bill O'Brien was the head coach at Boston College, and I'd forgotten that Will Rogers is going to be the starting quarterback at Washington.
That one is wild to me, the fact that Will Rogers stayed at Washington through the coaching transition. Because, you know, he committed to play for Kalen DeBoer, and then he ends up with Jed Fish instead. And then Fish doesn't get, you know, Kafita to transfer with him. So, I mean, Will Rogers playing for Jed Fish at Washington. I don't think any of us could have seen that coming 18 months ago.
No. And then, do you know how to say McMillan's first name?
Tetaroa?
Okay, there you go. He didn't get him to go to Washington either.
Right, yeah. I think Washington's in for, I mean, this might be obvious, but they're in for a rude awakening. Like, you see a team that was in the national title game not appear in the AP poll. That's usually a pretty firm sign that some serious regression is in store. So, yeah, I think it's crazy how many transfer quarterbacks are being relied upon in the Big Ten. That's the big differentiating factor to me between the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And why I think the SEC on the whole is a stronger conference. I'm not saying the SEC is definitely going to get more playoff teams than the Big Ten. It might not, but I think the SEC is a deeper, probably better league. Like if we were trying to put teams into a 64 team NCAA tournament, like in basketball, the SEC would definitely put more teams into that this year because there's more known commodities at quarterback. Whereas you look, even some of the contenders in the Big Ten are bringing in transfers, and there's just natural uncertainty with that. I mean, you look at Dylan Gabriel coming in at Oregon, Will Howard coming in at Ohio State, and that's just the two top-of-the-line guys. I mean, over half the league, I think, has transfers at QB, which is, I mean, just a lot of wild cards there for a league that is expected to kind of dominate.
I, like you, thought the same thing. I could not believe when I went to go look at the win total, 6.5. I was like, what am I missing there? Because I'm like you, man. I kind of want to smash that under because their conference slate is at Rutgers. That's going to be like a miserable football game. You know what I mean? Just you know Rutgers is going to be fired up. It's going to be a Friday night, short week, flying all the way across the country. Michigan at Iowa. USC at Penn State, UCLA, Oregon. It's like, man, like if they go 6-6, you still win the bet. And I'm like, that feels like it'd be a good season.
Without a doubt, yeah. Washington didn't make my win totals play, but they were definitely in consideration.
they were in the others receiving votes.
Yes, without a doubt. Yeah, I've got Rutgers on the over, which when I did that tally, I have Rutgers winning that game over Washington when I'm making my Rutgers tally, of course. And then my other Big Ten play is UCLA under 5. You talk about teams with first-year coaches with facing that coast-to-coast transition in conference, kind of like Washington. I mean, UCLA, there's a reason Chip Kelly left, and he's, you know, I think he was smart to do that because UCLA faces the toughest schedule in the league. And I don't think they have the horses to handle that. So, yeah, I'm on UCLA under 5, and I almost got there with Washington. But you know, I do have enough belief in Jed Fish as a coach.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think they're going to get there. It's kind of like Jeff Levy at Mississippi State. Like, I think it's a good hire. I just don't know that in the short term, like it's really going to work out.
All right, let's close here. So it's announced that Harbaugh is going to be the honorary captain to open the season. Yesterday, according to Harbaugh, he made the decision to call the school. He's going to step away, but they're going to honor his parents. I don't know what to believe. Well, you know what I mean? Like, because I guess this could kind of, I think this is the theory I have in my head that I'm closest to believing in. There's probably Michigan money and power people that want to honor Harbaugh because he gave them a title. And there was probably people at the school that were like, oh, God, do we have to? You announce it, and you let people go like, well, what are they doing? And then you allow it to, like, quietly sort itself out. I don't even understand the point. Why even do it in the first place?
to give the NCAA a big middle finger?
That has to be booster-driven, right? Because I can't see a school wanting to do that. Because when schools get an NCAA stuff, they're looking for the fastest way out.
Well, I wonder if that's what ultimately nixed this. Like, I kind of doubt it was Jim Harbaugh calling up Sharon Moore and saying, hey, buddy, sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it back. It may have been Ward Manuel's out on a podcast saying that Harbaugh is going to come back. Then the university administration maybe didn't even know that.
Yeah.
And this is me speculating. You know, the university administration maybe then pulls the plug. That would be my guess. I don't know. That's not informed. But
no, I mean, we're both speculating. I just feel like the one thing that I feel most confident in that didn't happen is that Harbaugh just called him up and was like, you know what? No, thank you.
Yeah. Right. So, and then the Harbaughs will still be honored, obviously, because you mentioned his parents are going to be there. I've written way too many Jim Harbaugh stories over the last 2.5 weeks. The man is not even a college football coach anymore, yet he is still like neck and neck with Deion Sanders for the character that's being the most covered right now by college football. It's insane.
I'm texting Mark. I'm going to say, what's the actual story with Harbaugh?
Surely he knows.
Well, you know, he's guaranteed he's been perusing the boards. If he hadn't been perusing the boards, his group chat has. Like, his group chat was going nuts when, did you not see, Harbaugh said if he was guilty, he'd apologize. He said he's not apologizing. Mark had to explain to him. He said he's not apologizing today. That's all he said. That was Mark's whole point. All right, buddy, we appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man, thank you.
David Cobb of CBS Sports.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.